News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. On your Tuesday, that means Quinn Hillier Day. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner, of course. Quinn, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Horrific attacks over the weekend. I'm sure you were keeping up with it like so many of us were, as you had Hamas militants break through that border there between Gaza and Israel and then slaughtered hundreds of Israelis and foreigners who were visiting Israel and took at least over 100 more hostage. The Israel counterstrike has been pretty swift and pretty violent here over these last few days, and now they're building a base right there next to Gaza to put a bunch of soldiers up and could be making their way into Gaza with individual soldiers here before long. Quinn, your thoughts on everything that transpired this weekend and what happens next?
Well, first of all, I really am shocked that Hamas was able to do this. I was standing on that border with Gaza with a bunch of Israeli soldiers in 2014. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, where I was, and they definitely came over where I was, but where I was, there was a no-man's land, sort of, between the Israeli area and Gaza, whereas closer to the beach, it's, you know, they're right side by side. But the ability to get so many people and weapons into Israel sort of astonishes me.
Yep.
I mean, because, you know, that's a guarded, heavily guarded border, and, you know, and Israel's supposed to have the best intelligence service in the world, so this shocked me. This really, really shocked me, and obviously the scenes from over there are shocking everybody's conscience, too.
Yeah, and, you know, Reuters had an article they either published yesterday or late Sunday explaining how it's believed that Hamas and Iran fooled Israel, and they're making it sound like the Israeli government truly believed Hamas was weak and not wanting to fight, and that they were more concerned about the economic conditions of the citizens of Gaza. And all that same time, while Israel was making sure there would be money in Gaza for food and necessities, you had these Hamas militants training for this day. 50 years to the day from Yom Kippur War?
Yom Kippur War, yes, indeed.
And I just find it so hard to believe, right, that all of this intelligence from not just Israel but the U.S. trained on Gaza and on Hamas, and this is able to happen on a day that was very important to that part of the world.
Yeah, again, astonishing is the word I use, but what this does is it gives the lie. It shows that, well, not a lie, it shows how false the liberal mantra has been for the last 35 years that if you give economic aid, if you help provide water and help provide energy and help the economy and help the humanitarian situation and give land to the Palestinians, that would solve the problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember Bill Clinton's Land for Peace. Well, Gaza belonged to Israel until Bill Clinton's Land for Peace deal started. And as you said, the more that Israel provided, the more the militants said, okay, well, now we don't have to worry about that, so we can do our secret plans for an invasion, because they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and being nice to them ain't gonna cut it.
You know, astonishing is the word that they were able to pull this off. And I hate to talk about it in that way because the whole situation was so horrible. And the deeds were unthinkable, but they happened. And I guess the first thing they did was they took out a lot of the border spots themselves, the border security, able to wipe them out. Then they went to they went to towns to confront and kill and do whatever to just citizens. It's unbelievable. And a lot of the planning, evidently, and I wonder how long this plan was being planned and how long this plot was being planned, because a lot of their conversations, things were done face-to-face. Nothing was done by texting, or it seems that they just kind of went underground with the whole communication of putting this thing together, so there was nothing detected. Hard to believe, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hard to believe.
It really is, and they'd never shown quite so much sophistication before, which is another reason people think that Iran was probably involved in the operational planning, but, you know, we don't know that for sure, but it looks pretty obvious.
So then the question is, you know, we know what Israel plans to do next. I mean, basically, we know what they plan to do, and that's to go in and round up every single member of Hamas and kill them, or at least dispose of them in some form or fashion. Already, the international community, Dan had a quote from the UN general earlier, and they were basically trying to put guardrails on what Israel can or should or will do. But, you know, there's a lot of risk here for the U.S. as well. General Jack Keane, retired general, was on Fox News last night, and he said, if this turns into a multi-front war for Israel, while they're going after the Hamas in Gaza, if you have Hezbollah come down from Syria, or if Iran gets involved, or, you know, name your country here, Israel's army could be overwhelmed, and they very well could ask for the U.S. military assistance.
Well, yes and no. You got to remember, even though they were caught off guard, Israel's army is second to none over in that region. I mean, I was looking at the numbers in the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, and Israel had 400,000 troops, and all the nations that did a surprise attack then against it had 1 million troops. And they also had, nominally, the Arab countries had more planes and stuff like that, and yet Israel kicked their butt in 19 days. And Israel has only gotten stronger since then. So, you know, Israel, in a lot of ways, can take care of itself. Here's where the U.S. needs to be looking in terms of, you know, do we send over troops? We don't need to send over troops. I don't think we'll ever need to send over troops for the major battles. But if Hamas has American hostages, then we don't need to go in and, you know, try to worry about taking out Hamas leaders or whatever. Let Israel do that. But to the extent that we can identify where those hostages are, then our SEAL teams, our Rangers, our special ops teams need to be at the ready to go rescue, you know, very quick operations to try to rescue American hostages. That is our responsibility, is protecting Americans. And, you know, a lot easier said than done. But that's the only place where I can see American troops being used, is, again, to save American lives.
Pretty ironic that just weeks ago, the president of Iran was in America. I guess he was at the UN meeting, went to the United Nations. Members of his parliament have been seen on videos now chanting death to Israel, death to America.
$6 billion went that way.
And he was in America.
We should not have given him, and conservatives said at the time, we should not have given him a visa. We should not have allowed him into this country.
Yeah, I agree.
And to kind of transition into another more domestic political issue, there's been a lot of blame passed around already. Tuberville even taking some shots about this Israel thing for some reason. But McCarthy now out as House Speaker. That happened Tuesday night. So after we talked last week, that vote went down. And some of the Republicans are saying, hey, if we had a House Speaker, we could already be acting on this Israeli crisis right now.
That's true, which is one more reason why the 8 rogue Republicans and every Democrat in the House were absolutely reckless and just wrong to evict a speaker in the middle of a term. You know, you might do it if there's some sort of major ethical thing, you know, where he's caught with his hand in the cookie jar. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there's a reason it has not been done in American history, and that is because it is destabilizing for our government. And I will say it is reckless to the point of to the effect of being unpatriotic, even if the intent is not to be unpatriotic. The effect of it is absolutely unpatriotic. I despise Kevin McCarthy with a white-hot heat for various reasons, but I would not have evicted him from the speakership for just this reason, because you cannot destabilize the American government like Matt Gaetz and Nancy Mace and their six Republican compatriots and every Democrat in the House just did.
Speaking of the word destabilizing, how does this terrible day or day and a half that happened in Israel, how does this destabilize that region of the world? How does this destabilize the world itself, the geopolitical world as we know it? And how does this just kind of, it seems to me that a lot of players that we've talked about, including Iran and U.S., Russia, China, you got Ukraine going on, it just puts everything and everybody on even more edge.
Well, it does. And it also, look, in addition to wanting to strike on the 50th anniversary of their embarrassment in the Yom Kippur War, the Iranians and the terrorists had one particular timely reason to do this, and that is because following the Abraham Accords with five other Arab nations, Israel was very, very close to signing an accord with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And this has thrown that to the wind. In fact, Saudi Arabia, you know, the kingdom, they're afraid of their own people rising up against them. And so they came out with an anti-Israel statement after Hamas attacked Israel. Right. So, this has taken a region that was stabilizing it and not only thrown out the further stabilization that was about to happen with Saudi Arabia, but has sent Saudi Arabia in the wrong direction and put pressure on some of those other Arab nations that had come to accord with Israel. So this is bad.
Yeah, sure is. Hey, Quinn, I'm going to go to the break, and I want to talk more about this House Speaker race, some of the players involved, and McCarthy maybe even kind of throwing his hat back into the ring. We'll see what and when that will come. Also, redistricting, the official map selection came after we talked last week as well, and we'll get your thoughts on that.
Great.
Okay. Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and the Washington Examiner joins us on Tuesdays. If you would like to submit a question for Quinn, you can do that on our Ascension Technologies text line, 253-343-251.
Yeah, that's our area code.
I need to be in an asylum. It is 19 after 8 o'clock. I'm not getting anything right. I'll have an inaccurate weather forecast on the way.
Thanks, Kane. 824 FM Talk 106.5. Back to our conversation with Quinn Hillier here in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by the local personal injury law firm, Tobias and Comer Law. Brian Comer, Desi Tobias, Lacey Smith doing great work there at Tobias and Comer. And they've been doing great work for decades here in Mobile. And want to remind you that Teen Safe Driving Week is coming up October 15th, the first day of Teen Safe Driving Week. And if you have teens, soon to have teens, or heck, if you've driven out on the road and you know there's teens nearby, you know how important teen driving safety is. And it's a good week as any to make sure they know the rules of the road and maybe some of those rules you've learned over the years while driving. Some easy stuff, of course, like wear your seatbelt, don't speed, don't drive distracted. That's a big one. According to the NHTSA, about 10% of all teen drivers who were involved in fatal crashes in recent years were distracted at the time of the crash. And of course, tell them don't drink or do drugs. That can change your life, and at a very, very young age. There's all kinds of really good, almost like a checklist of sorts for things you can go through with your teenagers for Teen Safe Driving Week at TobiasComerLaw.com. There's also a lot more information about the firm there at TobiasComerLaw.com. And you can call for a free consultation at any time, 251-432-5001. That's Tobias and Comer Law.
There's a lot of numbers in that commercial there. I don't think I could pull that off.
I don't think you could.
Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and the Washington Examiner joining us this morning. We're back up in D.C. Want to talk about
this,
that?
This speakership race, yeah. And McCarthy sounds like he'd be willing to hop back in. But right now, two names running, and that's Representative Steve Scalise, who you've talked about quite a bit over the years, Quinn, and then also Representative Jim Jordan out of Ohio. Now, you mentioned they're kind of in a tough spot right now not having a House Speaker, but with the interim Speaker, I mean, can't business kind of be done as usual? Or
No. No, the House rules say you cannot do any business until you have a Speaker, period.
At all.
The only business you can do is to adjourn a session that's already in business, or to, you know, for pro forma purposes, you call it into session, but they can't do any business. You can do, I believe you can do some committee hearings, but I'm not clear on that. But basically, you can't do any real legislative business on the House floor until you have a Speaker. To me, that's a dumb rule, but that's the rule.
Speaker's got to be somewhat of a peacemaker and deal maker, I think. Does Jim Jordan really fit that profile?
God, no. He doesn't fit it at all. But look, I've been on the show a number of times singing the praises of Steve Scalise, and as I said in the last segment, I really, just for various reasons I won't get into, I really despise Kevin McCarthy. But if the House had any sense right now, they would take Kevin McCarthy up on his offer to make him Speaker again for the rest of this session. You can't have instability in the main house of the legislature at a time like this. And all it would take would be either for Republicans to change their vote, or for five Democrats to turn and say, you know what, for the good of the order, we're going to put McCarthy back in. Because people don't understand, you've got a whole staff of dozens and dozens of people that help run things, and now they're aimless. They don't have anybody to direct them. Again, you can't do anything in the House. You need somebody who's actually there and, you know, has the staff in place, is actually operating things. And for the good of the order, the Democrats should step up and say, we don't like Kevin McCarthy either, just like I don't like Kevin McCarthy. But we got to put off all this infighting. You can fight over the speakership at the end of 2024, but right now let's get the government moving.
All right, Quinn, appreciate your time this morning. Ran out of time to talk about the new map, but we'll have plenty of time to discuss that on future shows. If folks want to find what you're reading and find you online on social media, how can they do so?
Well, first of all, I got to say, who dat?
They
can Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or go to QuinnHillier.com, push the subscribe button for free, and I update that about every 2 weeks.
Sounds good, Quinn. Thanks a bunch, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks.
Quinn Hillier, The Washington Examiner, on Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton.
Now, coming back, we'll turn up your voice. Plenty of texts to get to already at 251-343-0106. Plus, we got a lot more to get into right here on Mobile Mornings as we continue.
FM Talk 106.5 at 8:35. Saying the time and saying the Search and Technologies text line has suddenly become quite a chore. I don't know if, you know, this is a long-term problem I'm going to have, like, from here on out.
What's
it's been
that?
Kind of a distressing day. I've had trouble with numbers this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, you brought it on yourself with that story earlier about words that people can't pronounce.
Yeah.
So I guess you're kind of asking for it. Right. Lisa commented on that. She said, people kill me when they say, I'm going to Walmart's. She says, are you going to Walmart or all of the Walmart's? Fingers on a chalkboard.
How about Schillinger's? No, that's just a local. That's just a local thing. But Schillinger's Road.
Yeah, the funniest one to me, and one that no one mispronounces, but former homeowner, and I've basically lived up and down Greelot or Knollwood for well over a decade now, just in differing spots. But my newest house, we were talking with the former homeowner as he was handing over the keys, and he was telling us about a different exit out of the neighborhood, and he said, spits you out over there on Grillo. The, I guess, French pronunciation.
I guess, yeah.
Grillo. I'm like, oh, okay. No one calls it that. It's Grillot, buddy. But, yeah, some funny ones that you had in that list there. And rural is the number one mispronounced word, right?
Yes, that's number one, rural.
Reminds me of 30 Rock, great comedy show. And one of the stars of the show in the show itself was in a movie called Rural Juror, and no one knew what she was saying. She kept saying, "Are you coming to the opening of the Rural Juror?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, sure, okay, whatever." But pretty good one there too.
That's good.
Michael, talking about Hugh Freeze praising Daniels. That's good. This texter asked, "Did Walmart have a lawsuit against Target when they built a new store close by?" I think that's in reference GC. To the Baldwin County Bridge Company, and I thought that story was dead in the water, but apparently there's going to be another hearing later this month, mm-hmm. according to Erica Thomas with 1819 News. Baldwin County Bridge Company trying to get money back from the state, money they say has been lost to yep. all of this fight here.
They're going to meet in Montgomery with the same judge that kind of sided with them.
Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Poole.
Let's see. Gary here says, personal note to Dan. Sir, I have YouTube TV and get your Braves baseball games in English. So you flipped to Fubo to get Bally's for the Braves regular season. I was texting Dan last night during the Braves awesome game. Well, what an amazing finish there.
Yeah, like the last two innings were awesome,
yeah,
right?
But you were watching in Espanol or maybe the Portuguese. I didn't know they had a Portuguese broadcast.
So, yeah, I didn't know exactly what was going on. And I didn't have the action was so fast and furious.
Didn't want to turn it.
I didn't have time to say, well, where's the I with Fubo?
Is that yeah, Fubo.
You have the opportunity to sort your stations out as you want them. Mm-hmm. So I have the three major networks, okay? Mm-hmm. And then it's sports.
Yeah.
But I was on, for whatever reason, the feed I was getting was the Spanish broadcast. So it was a little confusing.
But you could see what was happening.
I could see what was happening, yeah.
Pat texted in earlier. I read last night that Gen Zers are bashing celebrities for standing with Israel. Our own children are okay with terrorism. I would like, and I'm sure someone's done a deep dive into that, where the Free Palestine movement, well, we know where it likely began, probably from Palestinians coming to the U.S., but there's a movement among young, you know, Americans who really don't have much ties to the Middle East who are completely anti-Israel
and pro-Palestine.
Yep. There's people that have been in our own borders, you know, cheering on the slaughter that yep. happened on Saturday, which is just so difficult that for me to believe.
It's incredible.
I can understand.
How you cheer on a slaughter, no matter what your political take is, I mean, that's not over the line.
And you have, you know, even competing rallies, which you would expect in a major city like New York City, you got like Israeli protesters or people protesting on behalf of Israeli, standing in support of them. And then you have the Palestine people, and then they get together. I don't know if fists were flown or how far that got in New York and some of these other cities. But to act like something like this, I don't know. When we talk about how that happened in Israel, like one of the most guarded, secure places in the world.
Yes.
And I still have a lot of questions about that. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist and go in on every single thing that happens on the global stage and say, well, actually, this happened.
Yeah.
But it's just so hard to believe that they would let their guard down. And at the time when they let their guard down on the 50th anniversary of the Yom Kippur
War,
it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And so you do wonder and ask, you know, what else is in it for all of the players on this stage? What could possibly, but so often the easy answer is the correct answer, and that's that the intelligence failed for one reason or another.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
But to say that something like that can't happen within our own borders, well, when you have that first story today is about how many illegal immigrants just in the last couple of years and the ones that we know about.
And they're here and they're staying.
That are here and staying. And these aren't all, I mean, most of you listening know this. These aren't just Mexicans coming across the border. It's not even just people from Central America. You have people from other third world countries.
People from Europe.
People from Europe coming over and coming through the border that way. And there could very well, now hopefully our intelligence have eyes on them, there could very well be terror cells or terrorists plotting stuff.
Easily.
Here.
Yeah. Easily. The report, this was a congressional report released by House Republicans on Monday, and the story comes from the New York Post. The report found at least 2,148,738 illegal aliens have been released into the United States by the Department of Homeland Security. That's
released.
You're not being secure.
Right.
That's from the time Joe Biden came into office until back in March of this year. So you've got six or so and more months to count up more of the numbers because they're coming across the border every day.
And that's the number they're able to estimate. Yeah. It could very well be a lot more than that.
So how many of those could be bad actors?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but every time you've got more coming over, you're adding to the number and you're increasing the odds that somebody is plotting something or could certainly do something like we saw the other day.
Now, one thing...
Maybe not on a massive level, mm-hmm. but on some level.
Well, one thing we have in our favor, too, is the Second Amendment, right? And I saw some folks commenting on those paragliders who were coming down into Israel. And in America, a lot of them would have ended up being target practice
yeah.
out here. And... that's another reason why it's so important that that's our right, you
yep.
know, that we have. Can you imagine if we weren't allowed to have weapons? Like what sitting ducks we would be at that point?
Absolutely.
Not that anything bad couldn't happen or hasn't happened here, but I have a hard feeling, a hard idea, a hard time believing that like these Hamas terrorists could go door to door in Mobile, Alabama, or in Baldwin County, and not start catching some lead back the other way.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no. Let's
and what sitting ducks we would be if
we didn't have weapons.
If we didn't.
And that's another reason why it's good to have a plan, right? And get together with neighbors, and I mean, because it could happen. Maybe not on that scale, and maybe you sound like a kook thinking that it could happen, but it's better to have a plan than not have a plan.
Well, when you see it, and it does happen, in one of the most secure areas of the world, it makes sense to consider the idea that it could happen mm-hmm. anywhere.
And I played that Jack Keane audio earlier, and I know Quinn said he couldn't possibly see Israel asking for U.S. boots on the ground, but Jack Keane, retired general, knows what he's talking about, and he thinks that if this becomes more than just the IDF fighting Hamas,
yeah.
if Hezbollah comes down,
yeah.
and if anyone else gets involved, with all of the weaponry available now to these Middle Eastern countries, it could very well overwhelm Israel. Mm. I mean, we're not talking about the same weaponry that was used back in the 40s, you know? And Keane said that Israel, who's never asked for U.S. boots on the ground to assist them, could very well, if this blows into a bigger thing, be asking for U.S. military assistance. I could see it happen if General Jack Keane could see it happening.
Yeah, and how about also the sophistication that this plan had to have, the tactical sophistication, all of the above does not necessarily have Hamas's handprint on it, right?
Yeah.
That's not historically how they've done their work, and that's, again, why... It would be more than easy to bring Iran into this conversation. Like they had, what kind of a hand did they have mm-hmm. in all of this? Of course, they're denying, but at the same time, members of the parliament are seen on video cheering the events, the horrible events over the weekend.
Let's see. This texter says, I admire much of Quinn's analysis most times. However, the Yom Kippur War was won by the Israelis only after massive emergency American aid by the Nixon administration. Until that time, the Israelis were losing badly. Texter here. Let's see. Don't forget Sean's least favorite mispronunciation. Is it pronounced Sean, S-H-A-W-N, or Seen? Yeah, I've Sean says that he's been called seen before. S-E-A-N.
Who's called him that?
Somebody who's not very bright.
Get Sean on the phone.
Doesn't have Meta. Let's see what Doesn't Have Meta has to say. I feel like I'm going to accidentally say something bad if I try to break the... I'm going to give that the break and read over what Doesn't Have Meta has to say so I don't break any FCC rules here.
Okay.
Seems like a trick, almost. This text said, reminds me of when Obama and Hillary missed Benghazi. All of our other allies had left the area. And you know, there's also a story, a theory out there that Egypt told Netanyahu that something like this was in the works, that something like this could happen. That's what one of the news stories going around is, that Netanyahu was warned of this ahead of time and kind of shooed it away. I don't know how much truth there is to that or not.
There's, well, they've got to be, you know, one story that I think should be covered more is Israeli citizens and how angry they are at all the powers that be. I mean, they're like, you missed it bad. And to think that they took out the security along the border, you know, just kill them, wipe them out, and then very pragmatically, if you can put a word like that on something that's horrible, went to town. They knew exactly where they were going, to these different towns that were close to the border, and committed all these heinous acts in one village after another.
Yeah, crazy. C.B. Carl says, last night on NPR, they were all about how bad Israel was for fighting back, and they never brought up the horrors that Hamas committed.
That's
seems par for the course, still hard to believe. Bob says, I would like for y'all or Sean to really break down why there's so much animosity between the two to clear it up, because I'm so confused on what they are fighting for. And, you know, I am not an expert on Palestinian and Israeli relations.
The history there.
All I know is that there are a lot of factions in the Middle East who hate each other, and a lot of them hate America. And
almost all of them hate America.
I think I get the bare bones about this conflict, and you know why it's been going on, and why the two hate each other so much. But I'm not going to go into any detail and reveal how ignorant I am of the whole thing. There are some people who are really, really, they really know what they're talking about with this. I'm going to try to get one on here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, because the history is so long, and it can be interpreted this way or that way as well. You know, even if you have a knowledge of the history, that history was written by somebody who saw something a certain way rather than the other. 849 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton in Mobile Mornings. Good morning.
Thanks, Kane. 854 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Headed up by Trey Bennett and his great crew working on both sides of the bay. They do full service junk removal. And it could be a big old pile of junk you've been working on for years or months, or it could just be one item. Like this review from Walter, he just put it up a day ago. He said, I called on Saturday morning to remove a refrigerator. They responded quickly and came out the same day. They called prior to arriving and arrived on time. They were professional and courteous, removed the refrigerator in a timely manner. I would definitely recommend their services and will use them again. That is one of well over 200 five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK here in Mobile. And those are real reviews. You know, some companies now pay to have fake reviews put up. You know that these aren't fake because they're people you probably know from this area. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they are great. That's why they get so many of those outstanding reviews. They'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day, plus free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. So whether it's residential or a business you need the junk gone from, call them today and set that appointment up. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and the website is 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I was talking about Bobby Bear earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
My days doing country radio long time ago at WNGC, which is meant to stood for North Georgia Country.
Oh.
Bobby Bear had a song that you could play if you really had to use the restroom.
It was like Freebird almost.
Yes.
Like the Freebird.
So that's how I remember Bobby Bear. Then we've kind of behind the scenes been doing this Bobby Bear deep dive this morning and coming up with these songs. Bobby Bear was quite a character, or his songs were memorable for sure. But I mean, he had an 8-minute song about somebody's diner that this was like break in case, you know. It was
in case of emergency.
In case of emergency. And I just remember that.
I mean, this guy hit, I don't know, it was hit after hit.
It really was.
So many great names for songs. It looks like he worked really closely with Shel Silverstein.
Yeah, and that guy was a very smart, very, very, very witty writer.
Oh, one of my favorite of all time. And, you know, he had that children's book, too. I have it on my, I read it when I was a kid, and I have it, been reading it to my kids, too. I can't remember the name of it, but all these Shel Silverstein nursery rhymes. But he wrote, apparently, a lot of Bobby Bear's music. And then I found this song as I was going through the discography. I said, oh, it looks like he has a song called Drop Kick Me Jesus.
And I said.
And you said, Through the Goalposts of Life, because you'd heard it before.
Yes.
I just want to play part of this for you. Bobby Bear, Drop Kick Me Jesus. If it plays. Let's see. A little bit of a slow roll here.
That's all right. Here we go. It's worth it. This is Bobby Bear.
Drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts of life.
That's just one. That's just one of all these songs that I'm sure Silverstein wrote.
Make me, Lord, more than
I've got the will if you've got the toe.
Isn't that that's what he says. Yeah, I guess that was too hot for radio, too, that song. Like, they didn't play it when it came out. I had the year that it came out.
I can see that. I can see that.
Maybe they felt that it was a little too sacrilegious.
Early 60s, and by the 70s, they were able to play it, is, I think, what happened.
Yeah, but it's not a... I don't think it was intended to be a sacrilegious song. It's just kind of humorous, but he's talking about, you know, God and helping him out through some tough situations. Absolutely great song.
How about the story of Bobby Bear's career getting off to a real shaky start?
Yeah, so he was right before he got drafted into the Army. He actually wrote up this song called The All-American Boy, and he has a friend... had a friend named Bill Parsons. So Bear did a demo for him with the song he wrote.
And Parsons did the song itself.
Right. But the record company decided to go with the initial demo, which was done by Bobby Bear. And he's serving in the Army. His song goes to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100.
And?
They credited Parsons for the song. So you imagine you write and perform the number 2 song in the country, and they give the credit to your buddy instead.
Every time you play it on the air, you say, well, there's that Bill Parsons again. He sure is good. Yeah. And you're Bobby Bear doing push-ups at...
Drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts of life.
Yeah.
That's a winner right there. Jeff Poor Show on the way here next. And he's got a heck of a list of guests. Jim McClendon, Thomas Gavan, and Francis Martel in hour number 3. I'm sure she'll be breaking down some of this international news.